I'm Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today is Ms. Safiatou Ndiaye, who is the ambassador of Senegal to South Africa. She was the former Minister of Culture and Preservation of Historical Heritage of the Republic of Senegal. She has also been the ambassador permanent representative of the Republic of Senegal to UNESCO, Paris, France, and the president of the African Ambassadors Group at UNESCO, as well as the ambassador extraordinary and plenipotentiary of the Republic of Senegal to the Swiss Confederation. Welcome to the show, Ambassador.
Thank you, Doctor. It's a pleasure being here today.
I know that you've recently come into South Africa, having been in only 2 months, but prior to your commencement of your term in office in South Africa, you've served your country for almost 30 years. You hold an outstanding record of achievement across various sectors and positions. Can you share with us a few of the landmarks in your career that have brought you up to today?
Thank you. As I said, as you said, 30 years, it's a long way. And I started as a teacher, French teacher. And I think it was the part that was very rich in my career because I was teaching French and African culture, literature to young girls. Teenagers, and they were prepared to go to the university. And today, when I'm in the street in Senegal or in any other office, and I meet these young ladies who will call me, "Oh, madam, how are you? You are my teacher." I'm very, very proud of that.
It must be such a sense of reward to know that you've nurtured these young girls into the woman they are today.
Definitely, definitely. Because I was a teacher, but I was also like a mother and advisor. I was really involved in that. I was young. When I started, I was 24 years. I was young and deeply involved in that. And really, I appreciate that moment of my life.
Now that you've reflected a little bit on your history, can you tell us what sort of milestones you want to achieve whilst you're in South Africa in this role?
Of course, as a diplomat, I would like to create better, deeper, good relationship between South Africa and my country, which exists since a long time. Actually, we are preparing in Senegal to celebrate the 30th anniversary of the talk of Dakar and a twinning between the Gore Island in Senegal and Robben Island in South Africa. Because 30 years ago in Senegal, we had this famous talk between heroes of ANC and people from the government of South Africa. And that was settled in Senegal. It was the beginning of the end, definitely, of apartheid. It was a great moment for us, and we are celebrating it this year in Senegal. So there is already a great relationship between Senegal and South Africa. But my goals, actually, also to put an economic development between our two countries. Senegal is now really developing mines, oil, gas. We found a lot of oil and gas in Senegal. And recently I was in Cape Town for the mining in Indaba, and we had very nice exchanges with people that are operating in this sector. And I deeply look for companies, South African companies, to go to Senegal, discover what we are having to propose. I know that maybe the language can be a gap for them to face, but all I can say that is all Senegalese people are now managing to speak English and understand a little bit. So there won't be any problem, and they're very friendly. And our system of hosting companies that are arriving is very performing. So this is one of my goals in South Africa, and also culture, of course. And also culture, I would like to show more about Senegalese culture here. We are planning with the Senegalese community to organize a week, a cultural week here. So this is also part of my goal. After the economic relationship, I would like to develop a real great, deep cultural relationship between our two cultures.
Those are two really important focuses, and I think the way that the commodities market is now shifting in commodities' favor, that then in turn, with Africa as a continent being so rich in its mineral resources, that again offers more of a bounty for companies coming in to different countries to improve those relationships. When you were talking about your early days as a teacher being involved in French literature and African culture, and you're still continuing within that cultural vein, teaching in the girls' high school and thereafter becoming the education advisors to the President of the Republic of Senegal for 2 years, in charge of educational policies and programs. As such, you know that education is a vital tool to empower individuals and societies, and even basic levels of literacy and numeracy have had profound effects on the well-being of women, whether that is benefits over fertility rates, reduced child mortality, improved health management, and poverty reduction. And interestingly, according to UNESCO study, an additional year of schooling yields a 10% increase in earnings, something which can't be underestimated. In your opinion, do you think as a society that we're doing enough to ensure that this type of knowledge is preached in every forum possible and passed on from mothers to daughters, especially in underprivileged communities?
Of course, Doctor, I could answer that we could do better. We could do more, and we have to do more. When you're talking about underprivileged community, I know exactly what does it mean. I'm coming from a country where traditional aspect, cultural aspect, but also religious considerations is a great, great handicap for girls, for women. In Senegal, we achieved our goal in putting girls in high school. This was one of the main purpose of UNESCO's fight. We achieved that. I'm really glad. But we are facing a great problem to maintain these girls in high school, to maintain them until they graduate from high school, and also to give them the opportunity to go to university and to go also to the scientific branches. It's a great problem because we are facing a society where whenever there is a choice to make between a boy and a girl going to school, without any hesitation, parents will say to the girl, you don't need to go to school. All you need to know is how to take care of a house, because you will get married and a good husband will take care of you. This is a problem. And when women leaders, I can consider myself like a leader, maybe in my country, will talk, they will say no. They're just copying women from abroad, from Occident. But they're not real good Senegalese. A good Senegalese have to stay at home. This is a big, big challenge. But we are continuing. We're continuing, and actually we are really glad to see that not only in Senegal, but in all over the continent. We're having a new generation of young women who are deeply believing that they can make it. And in each field of our economy, in our culture, you will find young girls, young women doing their job very well, creating companies, facing, and they will build a new nation. I'm against this Afro-pessimistic approach. I do continue to believe that we will make it, because this young woman that I'm seeing all over the continent, when you travel in the airport and in the meetings, creating a new world, new generation, and they will educate their sons, their girls, in that way that both can reach the same goals. And this is very important. I do continue to believe that we will make it one day. It will take time, but we are in the process.
That's the unfortunate thing, that it's almost another generation that's going to reap the benefits, and the current generation is still grappling with the tension of being able to advance themselves, having the right to advance themselves, but yet being constrained by culture. And it's a big conflict, I'd imagine, as they're growing up.
It is.
On who wins.
It is. Who wins, finally? That's a good question. In Senegal, I was saying that the problem is to maintain girls at school, because in some areas, religious and traditional aspect would say, okay, you were 12 years, you were 13 years old, you have to get married. We are facing this problem. Or you just don't have to continue to go to school, just to remain at home. So finally, is it a matter of who wins? No. I think that we will have to make a good link between my generation of this woman that we believe that we can achieve our goals, being mother, being involved in our culture, and being also a woman who can just sit here in a radio and talk about other issues, or going into any other meetings all over the world. I think we can make a compromise between all that. It's part of our identity to keep our culture, where we're coming from. What are the values of our education? I think this will help us to be better leaders. I do believe that it's not just a fight. It's a matter of taking care of both.
And that we're living in a changing environment and being able to adapt accordingly and not be constrained by the past, but being able to keep the cultural components that benefit the future. We've been talking about culture, and you held the position of Minister of Culture for the Republic of Senegal for 2 years. And you dealt with issues which, as we've just spoken about now, have changed the lives of your country's citizens for the years to come. You've become a role model. You've proven to many women and girls in Senegal, and indeed across the continent, that through hard work and personal sacrifice, everything can be achieved. Whether it's balancing the dynamics of fulfilling your cultural components, but still fulfilling your ambitions to succeed and provide meaningful contributions, can you please share with us some of the responsibilities that came with the role of being Minister of Culture and having such a demanding career?
It was very interesting and very tough at the same time. First of all, I was young when I became a minister. My first challenge was to make all these deputy chief directors that was in the Minister of Culture to accept that a young lady can be their boss. That was something. That a young lady was able to face the problems and to take care of this department. That was one of my first problems. It was a challenge. And also to take care of my family. My kids were young. My husband was demanding. And my community was also expecting a lot. So there were a lot of challenge to face. I was traveling a lot all over the country. I was traveling a lot abroad, taking the floor over meetings, where sometimes you will be just two or three women ministers among men. At the first sight, they will not believe in you. They will just look at the way you are dressed up and stuff like that. But what was the interesting part of it is you surprise them usually. And I was enjoying that moment when they were just seeing that it's just a woman. And then when you get into the debate, they will realize that sometimes you know more about the question we are treating than them. And that moment, that very specific moment, will make me have the strength to continue to fight. And not only for that, but to fight because I was saying if I succeed to this mission, other women will have the chance to continue and to do better than me. Yeah.
There was certainly a challenge to overcome, and arguably it was purely a gender-based challenge that you had to address, because if you'd been a man, you would have been accepted and there wouldn't have been an issue. What would be your advice to girls who want to follow in your footsteps in terms of what they need to do to overcome those types of challenges?
What they will need to do is, first, of course, to go to school, to continue. I was a mom, I was married, I was going to the university. And I took care of all this at the same time. It wasn't easy. Girls have to know that it won't be easy. They won't have to choose the easiest way. But they have the right to believe deeply that they can make it. They can make it. They're smart enough. They're strong enough. So my advice is just believe in you and continue. Whatever you feel like you want to do, continue. You'll face a lot of problems, but continue to believe that you can make it and you will achieve your goals.
Self-belief, focus, tenacity,
yeah.
Don't give up.
Don't give up. Never. Never, ever. It's your dream. You have to make it. And you can make it.
Thank you for inspiring us there.
Thank you.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902.
Hi, this is Lyra, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amalia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today, we're talking to Ambassador Safiatou Ndiaye, who is the ambassador of Senegal to South Africa, who was also the former Minister of Culture and Preservation of Historical Heritage of the Republic of Senegal. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In the previous segment of the show, Ambassador Ndiaye reflected on her 30-year career, looking at components within the political space as a minister, specifically looking at culture in the Republic of Senegal. We also spoke about some of the conflicts that arise from culture intertwined with the future and the way that the world is changing for young women to have sustainable careers and in order to embrace all aspects of their life equally. Ambassador, this program is all about gender equality, which is increasingly a global focus, and as such, building female leadership capacity is critically important for the future of women in Africa as well as the world. How do you see female leadership from your perspective?
Female leadership will increase. It will take time, as I said before, but the way I'm seeing things going, it will increase. I can take also the example of Senegal, where we finally end up after a long way, long fight. And it's the moment for me to pay a tribute to all these ladies that in the beginning of the 30s or even before were fighting for us to obtain parity for all the elective station. Actually, in Senegal, in the parliament, we are having 50% of men and 50% of women, which is something that is really great. And we are continuing this fight. It's not just a fight. I don't like the word fight. It's just that we are asking for our rights.
It is asking for rights. We're in an equitable society, but yes, yet some people are treated more equally than others.
That's right. It's not normal. We don't even have to ask for our rights. That have to be just normal.
And you mentioned the 50-50 parity, and I think that for me, one of the things that is most important when we look at female representation within the parliamentary space around the world, that Senegal is ranked sixth in the world. Rwanda leads the way.
Yes,
South Africa
is
ranked ninth.
Mm-hmm.
But the piece that puzzles me is when I look across other countries. So, for instance, the United Kingdom, 47th, France, 63rd, the USA, 104th. When I look at those stats of our so-called first world environment, this low representation of women, quite frankly, shocks me. What's your opinion of it?
Maybe that our young democracies are doing well. But I think that is maybe because as African women, we are coming from such a long way that we are having this need strongly to achieve some goals. Because having this parity wasn't a gift.
No.
No. It wasn't a gift. It was something very hard to obtain. But I think that African women are today convinced that it's the only way for them to help their daughters, their girls, to live a better life. We accept that maybe we'll have to do all this sacrifice for the next generation coming. And for that, a lot of African women leaders are facing a lot of problems because it's not easy. It's not easy in our community, in our society, to say, no, stop that. We don't want girl abuse. We don't want this. We don't want that. We are asking for this right and this right. So, but they also create solidarity between African women leaders all over the continent. We are meeting in some associations. We are doing, and all the democracies are maybe just sitting on the fact that everything is fine. They don't have the same problem maybe as we have in the African continent. And maybe that's why we're fighting so much to have this good results.
Also, I think it goes back to the point that you raised. You said maybe it's because we're young democracies. And I think that is possibly one of the strongest areas, because in developing and achieving to get to this democratic state, men and women fought equally. And why on earth would a woman now, after fighting the fight to get to democracy, suddenly give up? We're here together. We did this together. Let's continue together.
That's right. That's right. Can take my example. Our actual president, President Macky Sall, when we were fighting to obtain the presidency for our former president, President Abdoulaye Wade, we were in the opposition at that time. He was President Macky Sall, who is actually the president of Senegal, was the president of all the intellectuals and the movement of the opposition who were supporting the candidate Abdoulaye Wade at that time. I was his vice president, and we were working equally. So when we were, President Wade acceded to the power, for me it was normal that if President Macky Sall become a minister, it's normal for me also to become a minister. So there were no problem for me. I think that I did the job at the time I have to do it. It wasn't easy being a teacher, being serving the government and being in the opposition. It was a great fight. And as a woman, I had young kids. I had to go all over the country, sleep at night in village, trying to explain why we should change the system, why we should do this and that, why, and sometimes women will look at me and say, are you married? I say, yes. Are you a mother? I say, yes. How come you just leave your family and come all the way here, sitting here and talking? They couldn't understand. Why don't you just go and feed your kids? And I would say, no, because I want you to have a better life. I want you to become this and that. And I want your daughters to go to school and to become a teacher like me. That's why I'm doing this. And most of these African women are doing the same as me. I'm not just an example. I'm just one among all these African leaders.
But the role women. Model is so important, because when people see somebody doing it, it becomes tangible. It becomes believable that they can too.
But it's also so difficult. It's also so difficult because your society will not sometimes understand. And men will not let you go easily. So you will have to face a lot of things. She is too much. Oh, she's just, she's taking too much place. That will be the kind of comment you'll have to face. But if it's just comments, it's not a problem. But sometimes they will even use another woman to face you and just present you like, oh, it's just a woman's stuff. They're just fighting men, women, trying just to put you in a lower level.
To trivialize.
That's the word, trivialize.
Thank you for sharing your story there. Throughout the different radio programs we've had, one of the questions that I ask all my guests who've made tremendous achievements in their respective fields of expertise is about some of the factors that they consider to have contributed to their success. Some people talk about their moms. Others talk about perseverance or hard work. What would you say have been the key drivers to your success?
All these keys are, of course, part of, can I call it success? I don't know. Of my way of life. All these keys are, of course, very important. My mom. Perseverance. Because if you just say, no, I give up, you won't never end up. Of course, hard work. But for me, the main key is just to believe in my capacity of making it. I will wake up every day and say, I can make it. I have the abilities to make it. I will make it. That's what's all. And that's what I deeply recommend to all the young women, young girls all over my continent. You can make it.
I consider that our life today is the sum of the parts that have gone before us. Can you share some of the pivotal moments, special occasions in your life as you were growing up? Those aha moments.
We were in the opposition and we wanted deeply to change things in Senegal. President Ablaye Wade was our candidate, and as I told you, I was working with President Macky Sall. And we were in a caravan with President Ablaye Wade out of town in a very hard campaign. And President Macky Sall was driving a car. I was sitting just next to him. And all of a sudden, we were shot. I never heard about, never saw at that time a gun. And I was saying, what happened? What did that? And he just turned and we saw that guy just in front of us with a gun. And he was shot. And we just lay down. We drove. We got out of it without any injury. In Senegal, we always say, thank God. That was it. It was a moment of our life. But we never stopped. We continued the campaign. And we made it. Yeah. That's life.
It is life. Yeah. But it also demonstrates, as you said, it's the perseverance. You could have stopped, and if you'd stopped,
When I went back, my family was saying, you don't have to continue. You have to stay. I said, no. I finished my studies abroad. I came back home and I chose to get into opposition while some members of my family were in the government, in the power. Me, I went in the opposition because I wanted to change things. I deeply believe that I had something that I will want to put to develop my country. And the way things were going, it didn't suit me. So, it was something I deeply believe. I still deeply believe in that democracy will be the best way to develop our country.
Well, you're certainly dedicated to democracy and pursuing the cause and being able to communicate that across to everybody. What would you say, reflecting now on your career, has been the best lesson that you've learned in your career? I know there are probably many, but if there's one that you could single out...
Oh, yeah, I spoke about that girls, that young woman that I'm seeing all over now, sometime in the plane, saying, you've been my teacher. Yes. Raising two girls, I'm a mother of three. The boy is still at the university. But raising two girls that... today are young ladies One is a great banker in one of the biggest bank in Canada, in Montreal. And the second one is a young doctor, age of just 25. That thing, that maybe makes me feel really happy.
Fantastic. So two young ladies who
yes.
are now professionals.
Now professionals.
Pursuing strong careers.
Yes, pursuing their careers. But also deeply involved in their culture. And this is something that I'm proud of.
As every mom should be.
Yeah.
We are unfortunately running out of time. Can I ask you, in closing our conversation today, to share a few words of inspiration which you'd like to pass on to our young ladies that are listening to us in the continent today?
To the young ladies, my first word is that I'm proud. I'm proud when I'm looking at you, you young African girls, young African ladies. I'm watching you on TVs. I'm seeing you in the street. Wherever you are always acting with the sense of responsibility. And I'm really proud to be the mother of all of you, young African ladies. Keep on continuing. I know it's not always simple. I know it's not always easy. But keep on continuing. Because you are nice ladies. Because you are the symbol of the continent growing up. You are the symbol of the continent developing. And if all your moms, we did what we did, it's just for you. Luckily, you understand that. So keep on going.
Thank you very much, Ambassador.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. It's been such a pleasure having you on our show today.
It was a pleasure for me, Doctor, in sharing this special moment with you. It was a very intense moment of my life. Thank you.
Pleasure. We appreciate your time. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. And we have been talking to Ambassador Safiatou Ndiaye, who is the ambassador of Senegal to South Africa, also former Minister of Culture and Preservation of Historical Heritage of the Republic of Senegal.